Welcome to installment 94 of Sefer HaMitzvahs in the Rambam. Today's portion contains two mitzvahs. Prohibition 353, the conclusion of the laws relating to forbidden sexual relations. In this case, the prohibition not only of actual relations itself, but also any sort of contact which could lead to such relations. And then we begin the laws of kashrus, of kosher food, with positive commandment number 149, the commandment to inspect animals to make sure that they have all the signs of a kosher animal. We have been learning throughout the last several days different sorts of relationships, incestual relationships, and so on and so forth, which are forbidden by the Torah. In today's commandment, which it derives from the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 6, we learn that not only is the actual sexual relation itself forbidden, but there is an additional one. The verse states, "Leisikrivu," do not even approach a close relative to commit a sexual offense. This applies, as our sages explained, to such non-sexual contact, but other sorts of contact which could lead to actual sexual relations, such as hugging and kissing and other forms of contact. We might think this is only forbidden if it would lead to actual sexual contact. But our sages say, if we look at the verse 19 in the same chapter, we see that regarding a woman who is in nida, who is still in her menstrual state, the verse says, "Lo sikrav," do not approach her, do not come close to her. And this is regardless of whether it could lead to sexual relations. The mere fact that they have gotten a certain closeness is itself forbidden by the Torah. As we mentioned, this includes physical contact, which indicates affection, which could even include such a thing as shaking hands, also as a sign of affection. Our sages explain that many other things are also included in this prohibition. For example, even smelling a woman's perfume, or hearing her voice when she's singing, or gazing at her and for one's own personal enjoyment, or communicating with her, such as giving her a wink, or another suggestive gesture. And even if none of these things are done, the idea of yichud, of secluding oneself with another woman, is itself a prohibition, whether of rabbinical or a biblical prohibition, nevertheless it is prohibited. And this is even in such a case where the woman would be repulsive. It is not only when it could lead to a sexual relationship. The mere fact that a certain enjoyment is derived, as in the cases of gazing, or smelling the perfume, or staring at an article of clothing, or in yichud, even if there is no enjoyment whatsoever, the mere act of seclusion is prohibited by the Torah. Our sages explain that not only is the act prohibited, but thought is even prohibited. That first of all, thought can lead to action. And even if it doesn't, the thought itself has a damaging effect on the person. Even though the act is the main prohibition, there is a certain strictness and a certain severity which is greater in the thought than in the action itself. Hasidic philosophy explains that the garment of thought, or as the soul expresses itself in the process of thought, is more refined and more united with one's inner self than the garment of action. When a person acts, this doesn't affect a person in such an inner way, and it also represents a coarser aspect of the person's self. If we could compare it to a different type of shirt, if a person has a plaid shirt, a stain is not so easily noticed. But if one has a pure white linen shirt, even the tiniest stain can leave a permanent mark. And therefore, the white shirt is compared to a person's thought process, and one must be especially careful to guard one's thoughts. This is only in one aspect. In other aspects, the act is certainly more prohibited. The second commandment from today's portion is positive commandment number 149, which is the beginning of the laws relating to kosher food. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 2, Moses states, "Of all the animals in the world, these are the ones that you may eat," and describes that among mammals, you may eat anyone that has true hooves, that is mafreses parsa, cloven hooves, and also that is mylegeda, that brings up its cud. These are the two signs of a kosher animal. In Hebrew, the animals discussed in this mitzvah are behemoth, animals, and chayes, loosely translated as beasts. The main difference between them is in the shape of their horns. An animal, a behemoth, would be considered a cow, sheep, goats, or something of the sort. Chayes would be sheep, or moose, or similar animals. Both of them are kosher only if they have both signs, that they have completely split hoofs, not connected on the bottom, as is the case with a camel, which has a split hoof, but not completely split. They are still connected by a membrane. In addition, it must be myligata. It must chew its cud. The cud refers to the food that the animal has already chewed up. After chewing it once, the animal regurgitates it to go and chew it again. Our sages say that one of the signs of an animal which chews its cud is that the upper palate must not have any teeth. Otherwise, it was not necessary for such an animal to chew its cud. It could digest the food without this myligata, without regurgitating its food. The commandment here, according to Maimonides, is not a commandment to eat kosher food. We have a prohibition to not eat non-kosher animals. Here, the commandment is a different one, according to Maimonides. Maimonides says we must determine whether each animal we are going to eat, whether it has the signs of a kosher one or not. We must examine to determine whether it is a kosher animal or not. And the mere determination of whether it has the kosher signs is, in and of itself, a positive commandment. The Ramban, Nachmanides, disagrees with this point of the Rambam and says that if we would go and get a mitzvah just by examining the signs of every animal, then even if we don't eat them, we would also get credit for a mitzvah. This, the Ramban says, is impossible, and therefore he does not count the examination of an animal to determine whether it has the signs of a kosher animal to be a positive commandment. The Rambam, however, does do so. Since, as the Torah itself says, that you are what you eat, that the effect of the food a person eats has a very deep and permanent effect on their personality and the effect of their soul on their body, we will be discussing the significance of the kosher laws somewhat in the next few days. In today's portion, however, I'd like to mention the Hasidic explanation of the fact that kosher animals must have split hooves. What is the significance of a split hoof? A hoof itself is the point of contact between an animal and the ground. The animal itself contacts the ground only at the hoof. The ground, it is explained, symbolizes the earthly, the physical, materialistic desires of a person. The person himself is distinguished from an animal, as it explained that a person walks on 2 feet, that their head is capable of looking up, their eyes can look towards the heavens. Therefore, the intellectual powers and even the heart of a person are on a different level from their stomach and the other organs associated with the physical needs of a person. An animal who walks on all fours has all the digestive as well as the emotional organs and the organs of thought. The brain, everything is on the same level. A person, however, is given the quality of intellect in order to raise themselves above the materialistic world. Now, the majority of a person's day, however, is associated with work in this physical world. They must constantly be involved in earning a living and other physical activities. We are not separated from the physical world, and in fact Judaism encourages this. We must be involved in the physical world in order to raise it up and purify it and elevate it. However, at the same time we have contact with the materialistic world, we must realize that there has to be a gap, that we are not totally devoted to it in and of itself, not as an end in itself, that we use the physical world in order to bring out the sparks of holiness within it, not that we should serve it, but it should go rather and serve our purposes. And this is the significance of the split hoof, that even though we also have to have an animal which has hoofs, it has contact with the ground, and it has contact with the materialistic world. Nevertheless, this contact must not be a complete contact. There must be some air in between, a breath of fresh air, a space, indicating that our devotion to the physical, materialistic aspects of the world is not complete. We are involving ourselves in it only for the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs, of elevating the physical world and bringing it up to a higher level. There are some technical aspects of these commandments which the Rambam deals with in his Sefer HaMitzvot, which are beyond the scope of this lesson. Therefore, the listener is encouraged to look in Sefer HaMitzvot itself for more detail. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.